In 2024, the Triathlon Hour is brought to you by The Feed. TheFeed.com is a website that has all of the world's best training and race day nutritional products in one place. The Feed's goal is to help you experiment with and ultimately find what nutritional products work best for you to get the most out of your performance in training and racing. They have almost 200 brands in stock, so you can buy as much from one brand as you want or as little as one gel from a brand. And I really do think that's the big benefit, is you can try one thing from every brand and that way you'll find exactly what it is that you love and works for you. And having it all at one place at thefeed.com makes it convenient to do so. There's no more having to go to multiple websites and pay for shipping on them all and wait for them to come on different days or drive around to multiple shops. You can just get everything you need at thefeed.com and have it all shipped to your front door together so it arrives at the same time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Chase Pack brought to you by AG1. I know Penny must be enjoying her AG1 right now at 7 a.m. in Australia. And thank you to AG1 for supporting us this year so we can bring the Chase Pack on the main channel of the Triathlon Hour. And yeah, I am joined. I am Ari, by the way, if you didn't recognize my voice. I'm joined by Penny Slater from Australia. And Harry Palmer, whose hair is growing out a little bit.
It is growing.
Hopefully he stopped using shampoo, per my advice. And yeah. Andy Horsfall Turner, back What's from up? Hiatus.
Yep, back from hiatus.
Anyway, are we talking about training today? Is that why we sent in all of our training weeks?
Well, I think we should do training, but I also think we should do a little bit of a Oceanside kind of chat, because I think that's pretty much the hype this week, isn't it?
Sam Long is going to win.
Is that this weekend, is it?
Should we save, that for the back end of the episode?
And Taylor Nibb. Are we chatting about Oceanside or no?
We'll talk about the weeks first. And we'll save that for the end. The nice juicy end.
So I guess I swam like shit all of last week. I had
Oh my God, me too, Ari.
Hey,
it was bad.
I don't know. So coach brought in the band work. I've been doing band work, but only 50s. I would pretty hard 50s, a lot of variable pace. So one of my classic sort of presets that I learned from JR and Karina was once you're warmed up before the main set, you'll do a band sometimes with little finger paddles and a snorkel. They'll just do variable pace 50. So 25 easy, 25 hard, 25 hard, 25 easy build, and then all hard. So just that, however many times you want to do to get the yards in. So I'll do 4 to 6 rounds of that. So I was doing some band work, but nothing longer than a 50. And then coach puts in a bunch of 400 band reps. So I'm going straight from 50 to 400. And I did one day of it. There was a 400 rep and then 5 by 200 reps after the main set. And I could feel by the end of that, my neck and my obliques and my shoulders, there were so many muscles that I have not used like that before. Even swimming 40K a week, there were muscles that I just have not activated to that degree, which is good to identify a weakness. But after that, so I swam okay that day. And then after that,
were your feet dragging on the bottom of the pool or what by the end?
It felt like that. But sometimes you kind of like duck your head all the way underneath and you're like, oh, it's like 3 or 4 inches under, you know, because it feels like you're sinking.
Feels
a lot.
Feels so low, doesn't it? Yeah. Feels like your weight's around your ankles.
It's just hard, and it's just very hard on the shoulders and my neck. Like, I don't know, my neck could really get that sore, but it's just full on core engagement. Perhaps you can speak on that, Andy. But so that, I think that was the main cause of my specifically swimming really poorly the rest of the week, because I did band work pretty much every day.
Your technique a little bit.
I think it, not that it fucks up my technique, but that it exposes things, because you kind of, especially as a triathlete, you want to be able to swim well with basically just upper body power. You don't want to have to kick to move herself forward. And I remember Karina had me put on a band in Noosa, and I was like, my hips feel so low. Like I'm dragging my feet on the bottom of the pool. And she was like, no, actually your body position looks great. Like you're not, when you are able to kick, you kind of like splay your feet and it's this weird, like wiggly thing and your arms are all over the place. But when you put the band on, it actually forces you to like swim really straight and engage your core, which I found extremely interesting because it doesn't feel like that when you put the band on. So I don't think it fucked up my technique. I think it probably forced me to use all of the correct muscles and none of the
like balance yourself a lot more. Yeah.
None of the compensatory ones. So, but the rest of the week, on paper, I think was pretty solid. Like I had another good set of Ks, between three. It was eight by K on 1 minute rest. I did it on the roads this time, not the track, all between like 304 and 309 with headwind and tailwind each direction, which was pretty good. I haven't done too many running sessions, but just doing more volume seems to be translating. And the biking has also been, the numbers are good, but I just haven't felt good doing it. And it was 26 and a half hours and it just felt like, again, I was hitting the numbers, but it was all just a strain. And that's kind of when you know you need a little bit of rest. So I am just swimming today. That's kind of why I scheduled my day around driving to the 50 meter pool. And it's a shame that it didn't work out, but I do kind of just now get the morning to, I slept in and I ate and I ate again. So a little bit of a recovery day before I go to the pool. But it was week four since coming back to the US. So it's also really that time where the fatigue starts building up a whole bunch. And I think maybe that training camp I did with my friends 2 weeks ago, where it ended up being almost 32 hours.
You went rogue.
I went rogue. Yeah, maybe that is also hitting.
Come to get you. A 17-hour weekend of training is coming back for you.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? 17 hours in the weekend?
That's proper age group.
I think it was over 3 days, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was 17 hours.
So it's really, yeah.
Strong effort.
So again, yeah, the numbers are still looking good. But I think once it stops feeling good doing it, even if you can, it didn't feel like I forced it. It still felt like it was the quote unquote right effort. Maybe a light force, like a 2-3% force, but I wasn't like forcing it just to hit numbers. It was kind of within the ranges, but it just did not. I was just starting to get tired. Felt like I was always just a step behind everything. But the whole week I was remembering Jack did a podcast with Aaron Royal, I think at the beginning of this year, where Aaron was talking about the either pre US Open or pre Asian Open last year, where he said he was feeling tired and he just said, oh well, triathlon is hard. So I just kept remembering the quote, triathlon is hard. That's what was going through my head all last week.
You kind of just always want that feeling on the bike, don't you? Where you're just like double checking your parameters calibrated and everything's just like, the legs are just spinning. You're like, wow, this is easy today.
Yeah,
but if you're Andy, you go and get a whole new power meter to make sure that, and calibrate them to make sure that it's reading higher than the old one.
No, it's reading lower, which is depressing.
Oh, that's that. Tell us about it, Andy.
Specific test. Yeah.
So I changed from the Garmin power pedals to the Axiomas.
I rate those. I think those are the best.
Yeah, everyone rates the Axiomas definitely like power based power meter, and I reckon they're easily like somewhere between 15 and 20 watts lower.
I think they're accurate.
Oh mate,
it's depressing. It's depressing.
That is so shit.
But then, like, it's all, like, the calibration is hard in my head. It's, like, I don't mind the numbers being less, but it's just, like, trying to hit a number you used to be able to hit and then be like, this is so much harder.
So much harder, yeah.
And you have to, like, try and calibrate in your head.
You got your crank length right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
That is tough.
You've gone from, like, pushing 200 watts to 180, basically, or?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. No, so I think... I basically did
race power.
I did a bit of a calibration for like what I did at Texas last year. So I basically put my kicker on erg mode and I did like 10-minute efforts on both, and I used both pedals. So I put it on erg mode and my Garmin pedals basically matched the kicker like perfectly to like the same watt. And then I did the Axiomas and they were 16 watts less. And
yeah,
I'm
that's
like,
interesting.
So yeah, I'm just gonna go with the Axiomas now. I just like always, even if I'm on Zwift, I like link the Axiomas and I'm just like screw
I do that
else.
With mine as well, just to make sure it's all like it's the same as inside and outside.
Your CDA just got 16 watts better.
Yeah, and I got some and I got some upgrades this week, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
I mean, power meters are also individual, hey, so someone's can be 20 or 30 watts out compared to another person.
But it doesn't look so good on Strava, though. I think that's the...
that's all right.
That's the thing that annoys you.
People are going to think you've got weaker, Andy, and then you're going to come out and be better. So
yeah, true that, true that.
So tell us about your week, Andy. It's been a while since you and I haven't been on the podcast since I was in Australia, I think.
Yeah, you were still down under. It's been a pretty interesting week. It's one that didn't necessarily go to plan, but I still think I got like a good amount of work done. And everyone kind of like thinks that the week kind of looked a bit strange because it definitely was like weighted in a really strange way. So basically swam 4 times. Again, nothing like crazy on that. I had a couple of like race pace based sessions where I'm just like trying to target like Ironman effort, which should feel easy but doesn't, which is really frustrating sometimes. One kind of like longer one session and then one with like a little bit of intensity. Only one of those sessions actually counts as a session though, because only one hit the 6K mark.
Right, same for me last week. So we each swam once.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I guess the thing that like screwed up, not screwed up my week, but the thing that kind of mucked up my week to start off with is I went up to Silverstone, where the wind tunnel is in the UK. So I went up there on Wednesday and I wasn't actually in the wind tunnel, but I was basically going to see Drag2Zero, who support me, and basically changing from like a prototype extension that I've been using for a couple of years to their new like 0.66, it's called. So front new TT bar extensions and kind of like feeling a new position, nice and comfortable. So that's a good feeling. And I guess the idea was that I was going to go up there, get the new bars on, drive home, and then be able to get a swim and a bike in. And
oh, that's ambitious, mate.
By the time I got home, it was like 6 o'clock and I was just like, nah, I'm not training today.
Fuck that.
Now, the real question, Andy, is what is a homeopathic run?
Oh, good question. So it's basically a run and then it's basically got like a little bit of drill work in. So it's basically like a 45 minute base endurance run.
Okay, gotcha. Kind of like, and then some like drills or strides at the end or something like that.
Yeah, so I basically do like Ari's probably done every drill under the sun with running, but they're basically kind of what are they called? Like ankle overs or something like that.
Yeah.
Ankle dribbles. Dribbles?
Yeah.
So I kind of do some dribbles.
I haven't heard it called by that name. But also for context here, listeners, Jack had us send in a screenshot of our training peaks from the last week. And Andy's was really weird. Had a bunch of super weird titles. And one of them was homeopathic run. So that's what we're on right now. I've never heard of an ankle dribble.
Ankle dribbles, I think they're called. So you basically like just do like little kind of like circular motions kind of like over the top of your ankle. I'm demonstrating right now with my hands, so you guys can't see this, but...
And if he runs like that, it's probably not very good.
Yeah, like quite like quick feet, and you're like kind of like trying to get on your forefoot and like basically like feel really planted. So I do like 20, like 15, 20 meters of that, and then I go straight into like a 6 to 8 second sprint, and kind of do that like six-ish times. But I really like it because on like an easier run, I sometimes feel like proper shit. Like I always feel like whenever I just go out and try and do like a super easy run, even though my heart rate's like super low, I just feel absolutely like shit. So it's quite nice to like do that mid run and just like get a little bit of, I don't know, intensity in the body. I normally feel pretty good afterwards, like when I'm cooling down after that. So yeah, that was my weird run. For those that don't know, I'm basically coached by David Tilby Davis, and he's kind of like renowned for basically calling his sessions some weird and wacky titles. So yeah, there's some pretty good ones.
There's some, yeah, Poseidon's Trident, Zen Master. Get it. Can you tell us about your brick session on Saturday? It was a Texas specific one.
Yeah, so I'm basically, the issue I kind of found last year with late racing was that I was just getting off the bike and just feeling like pretty shit. And I don't know if it was like a psychological or like physical or nutritional or whatever. But I was basically just like running really crap. So the idea this year is that kind of like not leaving anything to chance. So kind of doing these like 2/3, 3/4 kind of Ironman bricks in training to like really understand how the body feels coming off the bike. And then, yeah, hopefully then on race day, there's no surprises. It's just like training is normal, sort of like crack on kind of thing. So I basically did a session called Bernie Burns, which is kind of like 15 minutes around Ironman power and then like 15 minutes, like 20 watts below. And you kind of fluctuate that for 4 hours. So it's a pretty intense session. New power meter. So I was going like 15 minutes at like
too low.
I was in like 15 minutes at like 290, 295.
But everyone remember it'll be 310 usually.
Yeah, 310 normally. Yeah. and then 15 at like 270, 275. So yeah, it felt pretty smooth, pretty good. And then I jumped off the bike and I was meant to do an hour and 40 at 350 per K. And then a cool down up to 2 hours. But I actually pulled the pins at an hour and 30 just because I got through like the half marathon in around like 119, 120 ish. And I felt like really good at one, like then. And then between like 120 and 130, I could feel like the energy was like dropping. And I know I didn't take enough carbs in like end of the ride and start of the run. And like instantly I was like, I feel like if I just like grind out another 10 minutes, I'm going to get to that point where you feel like you're racing in training. And I didn't want to like feel like I'm going to the well. So yeah, I eased off and just did, I still did the 2 hour run. But yeah, only 90 minutes of the tempo work.
I'm going to let you off for that.
Lucky you've done all that fat metabolism, hey?
Yeah.
You think that 10 minutes was like, it wasn't important physically or mentally, just to like, you know, isn't that part of the stimulus you're going for? Like when you start to run out of energy, continue to run efficiently.
I think there's a fine line between like, I don't know if you guys ever feel it. It's like, say you've only got so many times you can kind of go to the well in the year. You don't want to waste them in training. And I think I've done that like repeatedly in the past.
I love wasting them in training.
Are you going to the well?
We can tell.
I've done a few like sessions on the turbo last year, and literally like finished the session feeling like an absolute hero and being like, that was incredible. Those numbers are incredible. And then just like basically destroying myself. And then
yeah,
you get to the race and then you haven't got it in your body. And it's like, I left it in training 2 weeks ago. And I don't want to be that guy this year. So I'm trying to be smart. I'm trying to be clever.
Being a sensible boy. Letting go of the ego in the training. Yeah, it is.
It's so hard.
Form have just launched their brand new V2 goggles, the Smart Swim 2. So compared to the first version, Form's Smart Swim 2 goggles include an integrated heart rate monitor built into the goggles, meaning you can now see continuous real-time heart rate and accurately execute heart rate zone-based training in the pool, just like you've been able to do for years when cycling or running. So in my opinion, this feature alone is worth getting the new version of Form's goggles. But there's heaps of other stuff. Like one of the big things that Form have done with the V2 goggle, the Smart Swim 2, is Swim Straight, which I think is an amazing feature. What Swim Straight is Form have created like a digital compass that's accessible in the goggles display. So it works like a normal compass. When you're in the open water, you sort of sight and lock onto a buoy or a landmark, if you're in a race, obviously a buoy that you're aiming for, and then swim using the bearing in the goggles display. So really, as an age group triathlete, it now just makes sense to be wearing the Form Smart Swim 2 goggles for all your races, because you don't have to worry about sighting nearly
as much as what you would in a regular pair of goggles. It just makes the swim way less stressful, especially with heaps of people around you, and means you're not zigzagging and getting extra meters in your swim. You can start swimming really straight lines in your races. The Form team have also made a bunch of tweaks to the goggles themselves to make it even easier to dial in a great and comfortable fit. A few people did think that the V1 was a bit too tight or a bit too loose, so Form have done a number of things. They've reduced the size of the goggles by 15%, making them more hydrodynamic. They've created brand new eye seals that fit a wider variety of facial structures, as well as including 5 arched nose bridges, so from size extra small all the way through to extra large. And they've moved the strap's anchor point back a little bit so that the goggles have a more stable fit. There's actually heaps more to unpack with these goggles. Like, they've got head coach workouts, they've got training plans in them, integration with Training Peaks, Strava, etc., heaps of other apps. And seriously, there's just so much stuff that you have to check them out. The Smart Swim 2 have just launched, so they only just became available to purchase on April 2nd. And Forms ship them worldwide if you buy it from their website. So just head to formswim.com to get yourself a pair or to check them out.
Okay, so that's something very related. I want to give more detail about my weekend session, my Saturday session. To my Saturday session, it was a swim, a bike, and a run. The swim was like mostly just 50s sprinting, and I had a really short turnaround because I wanted to get on the bike like relatively early, and I was driving out of the city to start the bike so I wouldn't have to ride through the city to get to all the nice roads. And I definitely didn't eat enough between the swim and the bike. And got on the bike, felt terrible. I had like 420 grams of carbs for a 4-hour bike. So, you know, over that 100 gram an hour mark, and only, it was 3 by 12.5 minute hill reps with the first 30 seconds max. And then a 30 minute at like 320, 325 watts. So what is that? 37.5 an hour of intensity in a 4-hour ride. So not like a ton. I thought I'd be good on carbs, but I blew through the carbs, no carbs for the last like 45 minutes of the ride. And I felt like pretty bonky getting off the bike. And so I didn't do the run right off the bike. I drove to the store and got some, got some zingers, which are like, they're like little Twinkies with icing. So, and just pounded those. And then started the run. And I was like, okay, like these will start to hit real soon. My body will be like, know that I have carbs. And so I started, the warm up was 4Ks. I felt just absolutely terrible. Did some strides to try to wake my legs up. Felt absolutely terrible. And this is the run off the bike was a 30 minute like threshold run. So I'm, you know, going to aim for about three under 320s on a good day, but anything in the low to mid 320s would be, I think, solid. Anyway, I start running. I'm running like pretty hard. Look down at my watch, 1K, it's 350. I'm like, oh my god. And I'm not even running 6-minute miles right now. And I was thinking, like, how the fuck am I gonna explain this one to coach? He's gonna be like, you didn't eat enough, you like, you're constantly behind. And like, you want to just do the sessions right, and it's like, you have to admit you fucked something up majorly when that happened. So like, 2Ks, I'm still at like 350 average pace. It's like another 350, and I'm like, I really was like, I should not do this right now. I should just stop. I should just jog it in, like finish up the mileage or whatever. I don't need to do the intensity. But then I was like, no, if 345s is all I have today, I'm just going to run 345s. And then somewhere around 2.5 to 3Ks, the zinger started hitting.
Just hit.
And I ran 320s. Here we go. I ran 320s for the rest of the run. And it was great. I was like, oh my god, how did that? And like, mentally, I was very proud of myself for turning it around. When I was like, I was one more look at my watch away from just stopping. But yeah. I was like, just don't look at it, just do it. And then those zingers hit. It took 35 minutes for them after I ate them, which is why I thought it was interesting, because you said, oh,
you know for next time.
Well, I was gonna say, if I knew zingers worked.
Well, it's just anything. It's like, maybe if you had just kept going for 7 more minutes, the carbs would have hit with
you
never know which K. It was like I was literally at 2.5K about to stop, and then by 3K it was good.
I think the nice thing for me is that David likes us to like repeat sessions a little bit. So not like every week we do the same exact sessions for like months and months, but like, I'm going to do the same brick a couple more times before Texas. So like, instantly now I'm always like, the next,
you know, you're going to do better.
Next weekend, I'm just going to pound
more carbs.
Yeah, like I didn't go didn't go crazy low. I think I was probably 100 to 110, but like you're basically doing not far off like an Ironman bike effort.
Yeah, you're like, using a lot of carbs, hey.
Yeah, and I'm a big lad. Like I'm just on, like I'm 77-ish kilos, so like the energy I put out is a lot higher than if I was like 65 as well. You know,
do you have someone come out on the bike while you're running for like fuel, or do you just try and grab everything you've got like before you go out the door and just take it in a rucksack?
So yeah, that was kind of tactical. I managed to get a friend out on the bike. I don't know if it's more like for the actual nutrition, because like, I can carry a bottle and I can carry some gels, but I think it's more like mental, like having someone there. Yeah, like. And
you're
like
trying to impress them, and you know, when they're taking the Instagram reel footage, making that form silky smooth.
Like, I'm running like 3:45 to 3:50, and we're like an hour in, and it starts to like the first 30 minutes, it's cruisy, nice and easy. You're chatting, you know, asking him how his training's going, and all that sort of thing. And then, like,
the conversation just dies.
Progressively, as that run got longer and longer, he's like asking me a question. I've just like one word answer, like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, I am great company right now.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm so glad I came out here for you to talk to me in one word answers.
Treat me like a piece of shit.
I think I said to him at like an hour 25 where I was starting to get like super low on energy, and he asked me a question. I went, give me 5 minutes. All right, enough about me. Penny, what have you been up to?
Well, last week was post-race week, so it was nothing too crazy, to be honest. I was still back in Ballarat for 5 days. I was actually pretty wrecked after the race, to be honest. So I had like two super easy days on Monday and Tuesday. I just swam, and we were trying to fix my swim technique, which is proving to be quite the challenge.
Go on, talk us through it. What's the technique?
Well, basically, well, it's perfect now. Yeah, we'll see if it lasts. I have a very strange left arm. Well, not strange. It's just has always like gone out when I pull through the water. I don't pull through straight, which obviously means that I don't really pull as much water as what I could, and I don't enter as like straight as what I should. And it's probably been exacerbated because I had like my bike crash last year and fractured my shoulder on that side too. So like when I was coming back to swimming, my like joint was really stuffy and stuff. So I think I was also compensating even more like going out, so I didn't have to pull as much water through, so my shoulder didn't hurt as much basically. So but like coach was like getting me to enter, like the cue was to enter like with my pinky finger, so to try and get me to enter straight. And I, in my head, I was like, I'm entering with my pinky finger, and it's like was not, it was like only just going in straight. I was still almost entering with my thumb. Yeah, it's bad. But I like, we're getting there slowly, and it looks worse when I'm swimming slow, but once I actually swim a bit faster, because you're obviously like ripping through more, like trying to rip water a bit more when you're swimming faster. So anyways, but like, as you probably know, as you know, Andy, like there's only so fast you can go if your technique's not like perfect, basically. So I feel like I'm like almost at capacity of how fast I could go with the current technique I have. So hopefully this will help and will make me more efficient. And yeah. So we'll see. So that was the main thing I worked on last week.
I quite like the fact that you like came off a race, and like, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I tend to have like a few days of basically like easy or shit training almost, because you just like, feeling you can't train properly. So like, I quite like the idea of like, you've obviously had 2 days of easy swimming, but they've been like focused still. So you're like not just wasting training days, basically. Like we probably would.
Yeah, I for sure. And like, it was like, well, yeah, it was really hard for me, like brain wise, because I was thinking about it the whole time. But it's like one of those things where it's like, I was like almost overthinking it. So then I was swimming way too slow. But I think we found Like, I found the happy medium sort of by the end of the week. And I swam 100 meter PB, so it's got to count for something. It didn't feel great.
Split.
No, outdoor 50. I did a 111.3 or something like that. So
at Eureka?
Yeah, at Eureka in the outdoor. Oh, so
pretty good.
Yeah, and we did do a set of 50s on the Tuesday, like after I'd done, or no, maybe it was on the Wednesday. Anyways, after we'd done some technique work, and coach was like, "You're not getting out of this water until you do a 32.50," and I was like, "Okay," and I was like trying so hard, and I did like 6 33.1s in a row. And we'd been in there for like an hour and a half, and then he was like, "Okay, I'm going to change the parameters. You have to do 100. You have to do 100 under like at 112, and then you can get out." And so that was more doable than doing a 32. Apparently, my speed is really not great. But
were you allowed to do this from a dive, or was that from a push?
No dive.
Oh, that's
push only. Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, and then I just had a couple of aerobic days. So like on Monday, Tuesday was super easy. And then on Wednesday I had a bit more volume, so like 4 hours, just an easy swim bike run. And then Thursday I had a 4 hour ride and a 21K run, which was still pretty cruisy. And then
was that separate or a brick session?
No, it was separate. Yeah, I just rode in the morning because it's been a while since I've had like a pretty easy just like long ride, so it was quite nice to do that because the goal was to still try and hit like 70Ks of running up for the week after the race. So but my heart rate was still like pretty a bit high in sessions really until it started to settle on the Thursday. So yeah, had that bigger session, and then I drove back from Ballarat on Friday, which is like a 9 or 8 hour drive, so it was a big day in the car. And then and then just had a long swim on Saturday in gym, and then a long run on an aerobic day on Sunday. So 2 hour run, 2 hour ride, and then just like a 3.5K swim. So nothing crazy. I think it was about 20 hours for the week, which is like not awful after the race, considering I had a few easy days in there. But so now I'm really starting my build I've been in my build for a while, but now it's like the last 3 weeks of hard training before Texas. And it was a real shock to the system yesterday, that's for sure. My the bike session I got was probably one of the hardest I've ever done. So that was nice. And well, kind of nice. It was nice when to get it done. yeah. I went to bed and I was like, looked at the session, because I try not to look at the sessions too much. Like, I might click into them, but then try not think about them too much.
Yeah.
And I looked at it before I went to bed on Sunday night. I was like, oh yeah, that looks pretty hard. And then I woke up on Monday, because it was going to be my first session of the day, and was like getting ready and putting the bike on the trainer and stuff. And then I went and clicked back in, and like the numbers had all got higher
this was Monday.
But I can tell you what session was.
I want to know. It wasn't in the chat.
So it was yesterday. So it was a 2 hours and 51 minute trainer session, and it was like a ramp up warm up, so 25 minutes going up by 5 watts each, going in 5 minute blocks, until I got to like 300 watts basically. So not a super easy warm up for me, to be honest. And then like 10 minutes recovery, and then it was like chunks of like slightly over 70.3 watts. So it was like 20 minutes at 240 to 260 watts, 30 seconds at 550 plus watts, 1 minute at 280 watts, back into 20 minutes at like that same 70.3-ish power, so 240 to 260, and then 15 minutes recovery. And then the second set was like pretty similar, except for 30 seconds was, 30 seconds above 500 watts. And then the 1 minute turned to 5 minutes at 280 watts instead. So like straight after the 30 seconds. Yeah.
And then back into another 20?
Or was it 15? Into 15. And then 15 minutes recovery. And then I had the final 20 minutes was at 240 watts. So
I don't think your coach likes you giving you that.
Yeah. It was pretty rough, but it was good. Like, yeah, I'm kind of glad I didn't think about it too hard. I was just like, because I don't know, because this week's training is quite hard, probably one of the hardest I will have done. And coach messaged me on the Sunday night and was like, just talking about how it was a really hard week of training and stuff. And I was like, I hadn't even thought about it that much. I didn't think it was that bad, but now you're freaking me out. So we'll see. I might be on the floor by the end of the week. But
wait, so are you – wait, how many weeks? It's 4 weeks.
4 weeks, yeah, 4 weeks.
Yeah, so basically 3 weeks of training.
You're going to train, but you're going to smash it for 3 weeks, or you're going to smash it for two and a half?
I feel like it'll be two and a half.
Well, you have a deload.
2 weeks out, I'll probably do 3 days of intensity and then potentially just volume, because I always still respond well to volume. Otherwise, I feel really sluggish. So the last proper week will probably just not have as much intensity, but potentially similar volume. That's me. Harry, I want to hear about your week. It looked pretty you've been a bit of a mad dog, to be honest.
A 28 piece in 6 days.
It was good actually. So yeah, kind of well, the last big week before South Africa, starting to kind of taper down now. Got a few other bigger days this week, but that's kind of the main bulk of it all done. So it was quite a confidence inducing week, really. Had some the swim starting to come back, thank God, because honestly that was stressing me out. That shit was getting to me. But that was good. And then had some good run sessions. So on Wednesday we did 4x13 minutes at 320, 322 per K pace, which is really nice. And felt really cruisy actually, but by the third rep I got a really bad nosebleed after the third rep.
Oh my god,
I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And I was running with one of my mates and he's like, mate, do you want to call it? I was like, no, I have to get the fourth rep done, so
so just you take just my got top blood off streaming just, out
like,
your nose.
Yeah, so I've just got blood running down my face while I'm running at 320s on this bike, this bike path, and I've got my t-shirt in my hand just so I can occasionally wipe my face because the blood's coming out. So
taking lactates.
Yeah.
Because you just chuck the monitor straight under your nose and
from the nose. Yeah.
Super efficient. Yeah.
No, that's wouldn't stopping recommend and breaking. That. Just monitor. You can do it while you're running still and just
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Recommend it. the paces were good. It felt good. I did actually have a bike session on Thursday, which was it was called South Africa Race Simulation. And it was kind of fluctuating, I guess, similar to the session you were talking about, Andy. It's fluctuating from sort of Ironman pace to then just a little bit above. And I felt horrific. I honestly nearly binned it off halfway through. And then you kind of question yourself. You're like, oh, maybe I'm not as strong as I thought I was. Yeah. Or maybe training's not as going as well as I thought it might be. But I think it was just one of those days. Thankfully, the runoff felt good. But yeah, on the bike, the power was just it felt 70.3 power, but it wasn't. It was 30 watts less than what it felt like. It was pretty horrific.
Just your pedals.
Yeah, I need to calibrate the pedals, yeah.
Was that on the trainer?
That was on the trainer, yeah. And I do have the Asiomas as well, so I don't have any excuse.
On a session like that, how much are you doing in the TT bars compared to sat up?
I was chatting with someone about this the other day. I try to do, it kind of depends on how I feel. And that day I felt horrific, so not much, to be honest with you. When I'm feeling good, I'm like, yeah, go on, get in position. But yeah, that was such a bad session. I kind of had to sit up and just grizz it out, to be honest with you.
Coach once told me, messaged me directly, because I said I had done a rep in the uprights. He said, a rep not in TT position is a rep wasted.
Is it missed rep?
So that's... Wait, so, and Harry, you don't log meters in the pool. You just log the time of the session, so you have no...
Yeah, we're demo. Yeah. We want to know how far you've gone.
Yeah, weird, yeah, I don't want you guys to know how far I've gone.
Oh,
that's why you're swimming chicks, because you're doing 1.5k in an hour or something.
Well, wait, Harry, how's the swimming been going? Has it been coming back around now that
it's coming back around.
Okay, so you stole it from me and Penny.
Penny
and I were swimming well. Yeah. You were swimming shit.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
It's like the law of thermodynamics. God. It's like there's a finite amount of swim talent that can exist in the chase pack.
And, exactly,
and Andy's got a lot of it. Other. So then the rest of us involved for scraps.
Sometimes.
Andy took it back.
It will disappear again from me pretty soon, I can imagine.
It's all right. You don't need to swim in South Africa. It's going to be cancelled.
Yeah, mate, don't, please. I need to swim. So yeah, and then I had a really chill day on Friday, and then had my last kind of like big ride Saturday, like 6 hours out on the road on the TT bike, which was so nice. Weather finally was okay in the UK, and managed to get loads of time in TT. Power was, it was just like a strong aerobic ride, so 6 hours normalized was like 255. So it wasn't anything crazy, but it was like, it was just keeping the chain tight, feeling good. Runoff didn't feel so good, but the pace was all right. And after 6 hours, I guess that's kind of expected. And then just a solid run on the Sunday. It was no session, but it was just 2.5 hours, and I think I averaged like 4:13s, 4:14s per K. It was just like kind of just keeping on it, but not going too crazy. And then I did miss a session. I've got to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
I know.
Harry's got the
I
red.
Know. There's a red in Training Peaks. Shouldn't Ooh. Be allowed. It was a 90-minute easy spin later in the day. And because it was Easter Sunday, and like my parents are like, yeah,
you were drunk
on,
again? Or...
You know what? I'll be completely honest. I wasn't actually drunk. but I'd eaten far too much. And I was like, I feel horrific. So I just need to go to bed.
Oh, it's on the trainer.
I know. So coach is not impressed, but yeah.
Coach is angry with you 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been almost 30 hours in 6 days.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
God, yeah, it's like a 30,
but we're slowing it down now, thank God. Yeah.
How many weeks like that do you reckon you've had, Harry? Volume-wise.
Probably, quite a few of those, to be honest. The way we've been working it is like you have two to two and a half weeks like that, and then like a half week kind of pretty chill, and then you get back on it. Instead of what I used to do was like 3 weeks on, 1 week off, but I felt like 3 weeks was almost too long for me to focus. I couldn't really focus for that long. And when it started getting hard, it was like, I just wanted to give up. Whereas now it's like two and a half weeks is just the right amount of time. So we've done quite a few big weeks like that. And it becomes so much easier when you've got, like a squad dynamic. So like for the most part, I will do, track on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I've got the swims with the squad. So that's already like a big bulk of the week already sorted with a group. I've got accountability. So it does make life a lot easier. But yeah, it was a nice week. And then like 1400 TSS felt pretty good. So I feel like I'm in okay shape for South Africa, but I don't want to speak too soon. And I was saying to Andy today, actually, like I've forgotten if I've actually got my entry in or not. Do you know when you like, you're really stressed about things?
I do that
like,
all the time, Harry.
I'm so glad someone else does it, because I was sat here today, I was like, fuck, have I just forgotten to get an entry in?
You've just done a 12-week training block and then you can't enter. Yeah, because you passed the deadline.
So pissed off. Yeah. So fingers crossed that's not the case.
I thought you were going to say the other thing that you mentioned to me.
Oh, the, shit. The what did I say? Triathlon is shit.
That triathlon is stupid. During your long ride.
Yeah. I was out with a mate, Will Crudge. He's doing... Texas as a pro, and for about 6 hours, we were basically just complaining about triathlon. We're just like, this is fucking stupid. Like, why, what, who wants to do this? Like, you're just giving up your whole weekend. But it is good fun. It is good fun, I promise.
If you're someone who trains for long course triathlon or does some running or just in general cares about your running, particularly maybe if you take your running and your triathlon seriously, then I can't recommend enough you checking out and getting a Leva movement system. Leva are a product that you connect to a treadmill, and when you use them, they take weight off you while you run. So that reduction in weight or in load means that you can use it to help prevent overuse injuries while still doing lots of running, even increasing your running. And you can use it on your journey back from an injury to start running more with less load, or start running earlier in your journey back from injury than you may have otherwise been able to because of the reduction in load. You can use it for sessions, so to get some speed work done without the added load of speed work and therefore increase in injury risk that comes with doing speed work. You can take some load off while you're doing that speed work to reduce the risk of injury. There's just seriously so many uses for a lever movement system, all of which help with the main thing that makes you a better runner, and that's consistency. Consistency in your run volume and run quality over a long period of time are what make you a better runner. So lever movement systems are like the perfect tool for that, because they really do help and are a good strategy to help you keep you injury free. So if that sounds like something that you could benefit from, then seriously, just try one. Just try. Just get a lever movement system. From my experience, as soon as I got one, all I did was wish I had have got it earlier, because it's really helped me get back into running. And you know, I am someone who cares about and loves my running and takes it seriously. So if you want to get one for yourself, all you have to do is head across to Lever's website. Just Google lever movement system. And when you check out, use the discount code TTH, because it's a big one. It gets you 20% off when you do buy one.
Yeah, you'll either come back from South Africa with a renewed vigor for triathlon, or it'll be you'll be questioning your life decisions potentially.
Yeah, it might be the latter. Yeah.
Is there a start list yet for South Africa out yet?
No, I think it should be out this week. It's on Wednesday. Soon, yeah, right? should be this week.
Probably same as Texas. Like, they'll come out at the same time.
Texas weekend after, isn't it?
Yeah, Texas weekend after.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should definitely be this week. Yeah, I've just seen Thor Bendix Madsen was on the start list for South Africa, but unfortunately he's had to pull out because I think he's got some sort of Achilles injury, which is
tough.
Not good for him, but kind of good news for me. That sounds really bad. I hope he's okay and I hope his injuries do well, but I'm kind of silently like, yes.
One less person.
Sounds brutal.
Andy, what are your travel plans to Texas? How far in advance are you going over?
Oh, he's taking the private jet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Wales Force One.
I'm getting there Monday, race week. So what's that? Six days ahead.
Was that 9 hours?
Yeah.
7 hours?
I think it's only like a 6 or 5 hour time change for us, but it's actually like whenever I come out.
It's more.
No, it's not that bad. Really? I don't think, anyway.
Because you're not.
Maybe 6 hours. Yeah, maybe 6 hours.
What time is it right now? No, it's got to be more than that.
10 o'clock.
Oh, it is 6 hours.
Yeah. So, but then what I've always found is whenever I go out to America, like, you travel through the day. So I fly in the day. So my travel day just feels stupidly like long. You stay up till like, say, like 9 p.m go to bed, and you wake up at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning because you're like in this weird time sort of switch. But then if you just stay on that time zone the whole week up to race, then
it's
you haven't got
race
like
week.
yeah exactly. So
it was normal race mornings, isn't it?
Yeah, race week, just keep going to bed at like 8:30, 9 o'clock all week, and then you just keep waking up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock. So race morning is easy.
Yeah, that's what I did for South Africa last year. It was like similar time difference, and I went to bed at like 7:30 p.m. every night, and was waking up at like 4:35, and it was so good.
So easy.
It's the first race morning I've ever woken up and been like,
for Texas. You're gonna need some serious sleeping pills.
What's your plan?
I was worried about my travel
beams, because it took me a week. Even a week after.
Yeah, but
I was
you've barely traveled before though, Ari. So
that's true.
You haven't got the tricks.
Okay.
I'm flying out on, just stay up like until 9 p.m. and make sure you get on the time zone on your flight, basically. So
it wasn't, no, it's not staying up though. For you, it's going to be going to bed.
Well, no. Right? Well, yeah, because I leave at Sunday at like 3 p.m. and get in at 3 p.m. or whatever on the Sunday. So I basically just like, yeah, my travel sleep is on the flight. Well, you sleep at the start of the flight and then make sure you wake up for like the last 6 hours and then stay up to like 9 when you get there, or take like a sleeping, like a melatonin or something to sleep that night.
Mm. How long in advance are you going?
I'm going on Sunday. So yeah, not much more than you. Yeah. So yeah, should be good. I'm excited to see the start list because I mean, you probably got the email, Andy, that they wanted to make sure who was going to be still coming, because it's going to be a big field.
Is that what they've said? They've asked if you've, if people are still going up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think I heard on another podcast that people were like trying to enter and they obviously closed the deadline early and people still wanted to enter and they were then just putting them on a wait list.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Okay. I don't know how many people are on a wait list, but I guess when they sent that email out, I think they're probably wondering if like 3, 4, 5 people are not showing, then they could like let a few more people in maybe.
Yeah, true, because they did close it a bit earlier than what they usually do. Hey, it was quite early.
And have you seen what they've done? I don't know if they've done it in the last few days, but I looked at it yesterday and they've basically now like color coded it and being like, this event is almost full. So it's like, I think it's like green, yellow and red, like closed.
I saw that, yeah.
Yellow is like almost full and green is like open to enter.
Green is open and still like loads of slots,
So I think they like realized that people,
because of the pro like series now, people are going oh shivers, I gotta look at that.
So speaking of pro series, should we have some ocean side chat?
I'm gonna get up the start list.
I don't know about you guys, but like, the social media stuff is like, the hype is building and I'm a little bit jealous I'm not there. I got that, like, you know, you feel like you're missing out because everyone's flying over to California.
Is Anna doing it?
Yeah.
Is she?
Oceanside? Yeah.
Oh, sound.
I'm very excited to watch. I'm very excited to be a spectator.
Good watch. Yeah, so
I was thinking to that the other day, I wonder if they're going to have enough race ranger units for it.
I think that's why they capped it. I think they capped it at the number of race ranger units, I think.
Yeah,
I could be wrong. I might be talking.
You look like you're just making that up.
Oh my gosh, the male start list is huge. The women's is like 40, and the male
81.
That's insane. Well,
You guys have so many pros.
It is. Yeah, it doesn't mean a ton. Like it's funny, like going to Australia. Like how it, like, getting your pro card in Australia, and I don't know, it seems, based on Harry's experience trying to become a pro in the UK, like I did the first race that I was able to, and there's like 8 different criteria in the US, and one of them is top 3 at the age group national championships is just automatically, and I literally just, I got third, and I was just like, okay, can I have my pro card? And they were like, yes. And then I was like amount of races I had to do. That it was my like 4th triathlon. I had done 3 local triathlons and this race. And so there's so many people who like can meet one of those 8 criteria. And then you have all the US start lists with just like 40 guys. Whereas the Australian ones, they're like 10 people on them. But, you know, all 10 are pretty good swim bike runners. So the standard
the gaps
is just
are quite
higher.
Small now, like with the best with our races.
So it doesn't mean it just doesn't mean as much in the US, but you get these races like Oceanside where I mean it's gotta be
full
like
of people.
40 or something Americans on there. I don't have the start list in front of me, but just make sure you don't get stuck behind them in
Hang on, I'm gonna.
Are we doing a preview? Are we a preview triathlon show now?
No, I reckon we just like pick a few like highlights of what we think might happen, and then just like do some picks. I think we do some picks.
Is there a place we can see the when the men go off versus when the women go off? Like what the swim gap is? Can anyone
I think
get that?
6 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I wanna say. Oh no, maybe it was only two still.
No.
Oh my god.
That is going crazy. To be
a, I think it was two bloodbath. Actually. Yeah, the poor girl. Well, I mean, last year the girls like caught up to a lot of the male pros, didn't they?
You got like Lauren Brandon, Taylor Nibb. Like they're gonna swim.
Very good swimmers.
Minutes into some of the men.
Yeah.
Absolute minutes. Oh wow. That's gonna be crazy. All right, go on, Penny. Give us some picks then for the women's race.
I feel like Taylor's gonna win, and then maybe Tamara, and then Paula Finley, or outside chance Grace Tech. She's in pretty good form at the moment, so she'll probably swim with the front group and ride with them. Vanilla? So. Oh, Fenn, yeah.
And Emma Pellet-Brown.
I know. It's a good field, but...
good names, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's probably will come down to the run. Like, I feel like Taylor will probably be off the front and then it'll come down to the run. And then the men's... Oh, I reckon, yeah, Sam's going to win. Jackson Laundry second, and then Lionel third.
Very bold.
I like it.
I like, all right, for the women, I'll go obviously, Taylor Nibb. That's like just not even a hot take. And then Tamara, what did you say, Penny? Just so I don't do the same ones, just for the sake of having something different. Did you say Tamara, then Paula?
I said, yeah, I think I did.
Oh, that's kind of what I want to go to. Don't copy me, like, man. Yeah. Oh, sorry. yeah, Taylor Nibb's going to win by 6 minutes. And then actually Paula second. She's in good form. She'll be in great form going into Singapore as well. And then run battle between Emma Pallant-Brown and Tamara Jewett, where Tamara's going to come out on top for third. And then the men, Sam Long. Sam Long wins by a good bit. And then Yella Geens for second.
Oh, I forgot about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to say Mark Dubrick comes out ahead of Lionel Lange, Skipper, and that group. Trevor Foley. That is such a crazy good, like,
such a good
top
10
guys, though. Yeah, top 10, 15 guys. That's like tough to pick. But yeah, I'm gonna definitely say Sam Long takes the win there, though.
All right, I'll jump in. I think on the women's race, I think Taylor's obviously going to take the win. I think Fenella is going to jump on her feet and get hopefully dragged along on the bike. So I'm going to take Fenella for second. And then I think a fast runner is going to... So it's going to probably be, yeah, I'd say run battle. So, but I'm going to give it to Emma Pallant-Brown for third. I think she'll run through. But I think it's going to be crazy. I think there could be like... Between like second and like sixth on that race could be like super close. So I think it could be really exciting to watch, especially like if those runners are coming from like slightly behind. I think that could be like quite exciting to watch. So I hope the coverage is good, because that's all what we want to see, isn't it?
You hope so. They're probably just going to focus on the front, aren't they? They don't like focus on who's coming through, yeah. Which sucks.
No. They do, because Ironman knows that, like, you know, Lionel will be 2 minutes back or something out of the swim. And like, they're always going to have cameras on him just because of like what he brings to the sport. So that main sort of chase bike pack, I'm sure. And Sam, like, they'll, in all likelihood, come out of the water near each other.
Yeah.
Oh, Braden Curry's in this race?
Yeah. God. So in the men, this is where I'm going to go against you guys. I think because there's 81 men, I don't think any of the weaker swimmers are going to feature in the podium. So I think we're going to have I think Yella Geens is going to win. I think Mark Dubrick could get second. And I think Jackson Laundry is going to have upped his swim. And I think he's going to get third.
Buddy, did you watch Miami? Sam is going to be in the lead of this race by 15K.
No, I think Sam, Lionel, and Trevor are all going to like just run out of tarmac and be like, fourth, fifth, sixth.
But okay, just like, I bet charging. You 10 pounds. 10 pounds that Sam Long is leading the bike before 40K. I might even go 30K.
Before 40K.
Nah,
before 40K. Before 40K.
He's going to be three and a half minutes back out of the swim. Easy.
Okay. Do you, 10 quid? That's like $15 right now.
Yes.
Anyone who wants to take, anyone who wants a ticket, Sam Long will be at the front of the race by 40K. That is my bet. And all three of you can take it.
I'll take it.
All right.
No,
we got one.
I agree with you, Ari.
Harry?
No, yeah, I'm taking that as well, actually.
He's taking it. Okay. All right. So 10.
Is it 30 10, or 40K?
40K.
40K.
Okay. All right. Cool.
I'm going to say 60K. Am I allowed to say that?
Like you'll
that
take
a whole different bet. Then he'll be at the front by 60K. So I reckon it'll be 60K. It's going to take him a bit longer.
I just don't think so. Wetsuit swim.
Okay. I'll just go with Ari.
Yeah.
Imagine having to pass though, like 60 men on the bike, because you're like,
dude, can you imagine having 500 watts at your disposal to just get by him though?
500 watts for like half an hour to get past.
Do you guys know what? Did you guys watch that PTO video about like basically following Sam Long? He like completely fucked up his transition, and still he was the only one in the race who gained time on that front group. Those dudes were hammering away on the front. They saw him. They saw him like 30 seconds ahead, could have lapped him, and which is like such an advantageous position to be in. And he still took time back on them. Like, and on a course that is very hard to take time back on people, especially on a group where it's just like flat. You can judge the corners based on how fast other people in front of you went into them. Like Sam Laidlaw had Magnus going by, like pulling up, and those guys wanted to get as much time on Magnus as they could, so they were absolutely hammering. That's Sam Long, I think, is he's
sounds like you got a bit of a thing for him, mate.
Man crush.
American power.
I think
American power. I'm so high on Sam Long right now.
What you're underestimating though is like at the Miami T100, they had 20-meter draft, didn't they? So they weren't able to work together. True. But with a 12-meter draft, and I think you kind of underestimate
him to have to get through that many people.
To get through all those athletes. But I think you underestimate like how strong people like Florian Anger are on the bike. Like he'll be out the water top three or four. And like he has the ability to ride crazy hard. And if he's working with 6, 7, 8 other athletes, you know, Sam can push 400 watts for 40K. He ain't hitting the front of 40K.
All right. Well, we can deliberate it all we want, but the bookies are in, and
what's Harry
saying? Really good about
it.
So women.
He's with you.
Yeah. I'm with you on this bet for sure. I think Fenella will take the win. I want Fenella to take the win. I would say Emma, second, and then Taylor Nibb third. For the men,
That's bold. That is the world champion.
I know. Well, I've gone even more weird with the boys because I put Skipper for the win because I just think it'd be hilarious.
The junkyard dog.
Oh, hang on. Emma Pallant-Brown's injured. She had a big bike
crash. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Tamadrid, it's my third.
I just saw on... Yeah.
That's not ideal.
So,
All right, Paula Finley will be in there then. And then Long second, and then Foley third. It's such a random pick, but I genuinely
like
think
the
guys.
Of what Andy said.
Literally all the Uber bike runners. I genuinely though, I do second what Andy has said. Like the swim's going to be so important at a race like this, and I think even if you are an Uber biker like Sam, it's like I don't think you can ride through that many people.
He'll try. He will try.
Yeah, he'll give it a go and fair play.
He'll get to the front or near the front. I just don't see him hitting the front that quickly.
Okay, so the thing is, do you guys think that Magnus could come out of the water with Sam and ride to the front?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sam Long and Magnus Dettlev are the same level of cyclist. And I actually don't think that's
I disagree.
That's a hot take. They biked like about the same at Miami and Sam ran faster.
Yeah, but Magnus was just doing enough to win.
he barely did enough to win.
Yeah, he still won.
If Sam had come to Australia, if Sam had come to Australia with me for a month, he would have won that race, no question.
Fuck off.
And that's, I'm not kidding. I'm just not kidding. I don't think it's, how is it a hot take to say that Sam and Magnus are the same level of cyclists? For the last 2 years, they've basically been like biking together. Magnus just has gotten his swim a little bit better.
True. I would probably favor Magnus over the longer, the full distance though.
Yeah, oh, definitely. But over the 70.3. Anyway, the bets are in. And we'll find out on next week's
Sorry
podcast.
Sorry for those of you who don't give a shit about that, because we just spent 15 minutes talking about it.
We got to find something to talk about.
Hot take here is guy from Swansea, Liam Lloyd's racing, and I reckon he's going to get a top 10. That's my hot take.
Really?
Hey.
Yeah, Liam Lloyd, so. Men's number 28. He's a good swimmer. That'll be helpful.
Decent swimmer, strong rider, strong runner. Yeah. So he'll be
my decent swimmer. Who's he coming out with?
Probably not. If there's like a small front group of like 6 to 8, he's probably in that second big group. So he's like probably just off that front pack. But yeah, I think he's training well and swimming well at the moment. So yeah, I think he'll sneak a top 10. Yep, he is in the chase pack.
There's many chase packs. That's for sure. There's more than there is good people. I mean, we are good, actually. I just downed on us. Sorry, everyone.
Where are I?
Right. So, Ari, I'll send you my PayPal details on Saturday.
All right. We'll be live in the group chat. Oh, I can't wait for this.
Okay.
I'm very excited for this. All right, folks.
Awesome. Yes. All right.
Yeah, let's call it there. Have a good week, guys.
Thanks for listening. Guys. Gavin DeGraw outro theme song. All right. Peace out, everybody.
All right.
Yeah.
Legend.
Cheers.
See ya. I'm tired of looking around the room, wondering what I gotta do, or who I'm supposed